He put the man he had just made in it. God made all kinds of trees grow from the ground, trees beautiful to look at and good to eat. The tree of life was in the middle of the garden, also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And let's jump down to 16 and 17. God commanded to the man, "You can eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of knowledge and good and of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead." That's pretty blunt, actually. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead. So I'm gonna say this at the beginning and see how many of you actually get the reference. My wife will get the reference, but this is the way. Did anybody get it besides my wife? Yeah. Us nerdies, yeah. If you watch The Mandalorian, you'll know what I'm saying. This is the way. They always say that when they say something profound, they'll say, "This is the way." I like that. I like that a lot, actually, but I just like that show. If we look at those two scriptures and if we look at what God has said here, we can see, I think we see two themes that are set throughout the entirety of Scripture and in the entirety of our lives. Tree of life, tree of knowledge and good and evil. And these, I think the Bible, in a broad sense, is about those all the way from the beginning to the end. Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as we look at our lives, I think we need to begin to say, and to look and to understand which is operating in our life. That, and the quote that Richard Rohr gave that I latched onto, that's kind of changed a lot of way of my thinking, is he said, and I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, "You know, the tree of life and the tree of good and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." That's hard to say. Said, "We are gorging ourselves from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even today." And I got, that kind of blew me out of the water. First of all, I'd never really considered that this was a theme that went past the Garden of Eden, but it is. And he said, "We're gorging, we love the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as opposed to the tree of life." And I thought, wow. So let's look at these a little closer. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's interesting to me that it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not just the tree of the knowledge of evil. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, why wouldn't he want us to know about good? That's an interesting question, I think. Why wouldn't he want us to know about good? If you look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then all of a sudden you're starting to partake from something that says you have to start making judgments about life. This is good. This is evil. This is right. This is wrong. This is better. This is worse. We gorge ourselves on that kind of judgment. Sorry. I'm being told from the back. Is that okay? I hope you can hear that. Yeah, excellent. We gorge ourselves on these type of things. In fact, we're conditioned, I believe, from birth. And I want to say right now, it's really to no fault of our own. It's just our upbringing. We're brought up to say, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. That's a bad lifestyle. This is a good lifestyle. Make these judgments in life and you'll be great. You'll do okay. We're told that. I'm not sure that's a good thing. In fact, I'm going to tell you today, it's probably not. Now, I'm not talking about raising your children and, you know, in a sense that you don't tell them what's healthy for them or what's not. Because, you know, I don't think what I'm talking about here is, hey, son, that's a rattlesnake. Don't go near it. I don't think that's what we're talking about. I want you to make a judgment that going near a rattlesnake's not a good idea or something like this. So we're not talking about dangerous stuff that is a health thing. We're talking about making judgments about what's good and what's evil. And I I think we're brought up to do that. And I think we do this without even thinking because we're conditioned this way. For example, whenever you see somebody, even this morning, when we met people today that have come in, but rather than talk about us, let's talk about somebody on the street. Whenever you see somebody at all, let's say you're walking down the street, your mind automatically says, oh, nice clothes, probably rich, good clothes, poor, rich, poor. We make that determination by their clothes. We look at their hair. Oh, dirty, not clean, doesn't take care of himself. We make a distinction. We make that judgment. And we've assessed this person with, 30 or 40 different quick observations that we don't even think about, but we've categorized that person by doing that. We're built that way, unfortunately, because we're conditioned to do that. We're brought up with a sense of our station in life, if I could say it that way. My grandfather, he was a truck driver. He had this saying that was, I laugh about it now. He told me one day, he said, you kind of want to keep your nose up just a little bit. He said, because, we're not like everybody. I said, okay. He said, but don't put it up too high because you'll drown when it rains. Said, that was my grandfather. He was a truck driver. And he had very determined beliefs about life and that kind of thing. But I think we make light of that. But I think if we actually all think about it, we've all been trained and conditioned to make these judgments everywhere we go. Okay, I'm going to walk wide of this person because it's instinctive almost that we instinctively make those calls and those judgments. We are relating to people in a bad way. We're relating to ourselves in a bad way. Because if we look, and you can read in the next chapter I probably should have read it, but I'll just tell you the paraphrase of the story. If you read in the next chapter in Genesis, this is the fall of man, supposedly, and God comes in there and two things have happened after they eat the apple of the tree. So they're hiding. Why are they hiding? Adam says it's because I was ashamed. And then what's the first thing he does when God talks to him about it? That woman, she's worse than I am. The two things that happen when we live in the lifestyle of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, whether we know it or not or realize it or not, is the very first thing is we are ashamed of who we are. Why do you think so many people have so much trouble with themselves and who they are? Because they've been brought up in this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it's all of a sudden, I can't live up to any standards that are put up there, and so I'm ashamed. And then because I can't live up to it and I feel ashamed, I'm going to have to condemn somebody else so I at least feel a little better about myself. So I'm going to condemn you. And so when we gorge ourselves in this lifestyle, what we're doing is we're bringing shame on ourselves. We're making ourselves feel, terrible because we can never live up to any kind of standards in our own minds. And we're judging other people because that makes us feel better about our own shame. This is the result of these two things. But I'm here to tell you today there was two trees in the garden. And the other one is the tree of life. Now let's. I don't know if you guys can think back to your geometry in high school. I don't even know if they even do. Do they teach geometry in high school again nowadays? They do. They still teach geometry in high school? Okay. We had the most boring geometry teacher. The most boring teacher ever. But, he was just, and it's a hard subject for people to get excited about anyway. But I loved it. I liked it. I thought geometry class was great, especially the part where we were doing proofs. If this, then this, and if that, then this. And, I really liked that part. So let's drop back on that a little bit, and let's look at some logical proofs and thinking, okay? Jesus said, I am the way, this is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, Jesus, God, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're also told that God is love. God, Jesus, is love. And then we're also told that let me go back to the logic part now. God is life and love. God is life and God is love. Therefore, love is life. You see the, you know, so if A equals B and B equals C, A equals C is what we're saying there. If God is love and God is life, love is life. Does that make sense? So the tree of life is actually a tree of love. And that's the way that Jesus is bringing to us, is to walk in the way of love. Now, do you think God knew they were naked before they told him? Of course. He's God. Of course he knew they were naked. But I don't recall him saying anywhere, hey, you guys need to put some clothes on. This is, you know, if I'm going to come visit you, you need to put some clothes on. He never called him indecent, did he? He never said, hey, this is not working for me. You need to change your life. You need to be, you know, he didn't. He loved them. And so he said, I don't care. I mean, obviously he made them. So he said, this is good. But the fact that they were naked and in their minds flawed in that sense, he didn't care about that at all. He said, I love you. I want to be with you. I don't care what the condition of your life is. I am going to love you. And in fact, I think we can see that when they, you know, the Bible talks about fig leaves and then God giving them animal skins. I think that whole part was done so that they would feel better about themselves. God didn't care. By the way, I'm not saying we should all go around naked. But what I am saying is God didn't care. He gave them clothing so that they would not be ashamed any longer. So that they would not be ashamed of themselves. See, God loves them no matter who they are, where they are, what they are. He loves them. And he says, we should love the same. The love of God, quite frankly, gives them the freedom to be whoever they are. People can come to God without, I mean, he's, okay, I'm going to say something kind of controversial here. I believe people can come to God and he's not saying you need to change. He's just saying, come be with me. Come be with me. Let's be together. Let's not worry about what's going on in your life. Just, I love you right there. We can't do that, it seems, because we're conditioned the other way. We're conditioned to say, he's this, she's that, they're this, we can't go there, or if they want to come here, they've got to do this, or they've got to be that. We can't do it because we're so conditioned. But the hope is that there is a way that we can embrace, and if we embrace that way, then our hearts will begin to change. I'm going to tell you, this is not going to happen overnight. It's also not going to be easy. Giving people the freedom to be who they are, which is what we're doing when we love them. We're saying, you know, I love you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. I love you. That's why we see Jesus hanging out with all these people all the time that the Pharisees didn't like. I don't care. I love you. If we give people the freedom to be whatever without pulling away or having to say, you need to change this, then they'll really feel the love of God. That will be a change in us that they can feel and see. But it's dangerous. Because this is what Jesus taught, and it got him killed. He taught love without exception, love without condition, love without forcing people into a mindset. And it got him killed. Funny thing is, it got him killed by the Pharisees. They're the ones that instigated it. A little side note on that. It's a lot easier to manipulate people if they're acting out of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Okay? I used to have a pastor once, and he said, in our leadership meeting one time we were there, and he said, I much prefer preaching out of the Old Testament. Because it's a whole lot easier to preach right and wrong and good and bad from the Old Testament because, you know, nobody really understands the new model that Christ brings. He didn't say this part. I'm adding this part to it. He would never say that part, but that's the fact. It's the truth. People don't want that message. They want the message of those people over there are ruining us or our country, let's say. I'm not going to bring up any of that right now, but that's an easier message to control and manipulate people. That's why, I am going to say one thing. That's why in the last election, the son of one of the candidates said, you know, this whole turn the other cheek thing's not working for us. I don't think we need to do that anymore. He just totally rejected the gospel because it wasn't working. And you know, when you teach people how to love and to be that way, you can't control people by fear because love drives out fear. If I love you for who you are, no matter what, how you change, then I have nothing to be afraid of from you. Especially if my heart is grounded in God. So, this got Jesus killed, and not because, one of the things I thought of about this is, you know, there was no chance that he could ever rise to be the chief priest. Just was not, I mean, not only because they wouldn't let him, but because I don't think the way the politics of it worked, he could have never become that. So why was he a threat? Because he threatened their power because they realized that once the people grabbed hold of the message of love, they no longer had control over them. They no longer could control their actions by guilting them or shaming them. Once we let go of the knowledge of good and evil and live by the tree of life, the tree of love, our shame begins to wash away, begins to go, because we realize God loves me just like this. We say that a lot, but I don't know that we've ever grabbed that the way we should. I know I haven't. And I think that's something that we grow into as we get closer and closer to God. Okay. The way of love. We talk a lot about being countercultural. It's extremely countercultural to love everybody no matter what without condition and to look at somebody and say, yeah, come on. We don't care what you look like, what you're doing, what your lifestyle is. It doesn't matter. We love you. You just don't see that in the world. But let me tell you, let me read to you the way of love. And obviously, many of you will know this scripture. I got to get to it here in my handy-dandy phone. 1 Corinthians, you've heard this before, 13. The way of love. Mine even has a title, The Way of Love. I love it. This is the way. We need to say that. That needs to be something we say. Anyway. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Now, I love this part here. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others. That's a big one. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trust God always. This next one's hard for me. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. This is the way of love. And I know that maybe you're thinking, okay, but what about changing our lives? Shouldn't we encourage one another to change? Shouldn't we point out those type of things? Isn't that part of? No, it's not. It's part of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute. Listen to what I'm saying here. Jesus, when he was walking down the street in this great procession, everybody know the story of, I lost the name, short guy. Zacchaeus. I did that on purpose, because how do you know what's short? Because you know what, by comparing it to tall. That's part of the whole mindset of good and evil. We're comparing what's right, what's tall, what's short. Zacchaeus. He looked up and he said, come on down, I'm going to your house. He went to Zacchaeus' house. We don't have anything about what was said there, except all of a sudden, in the middle of this, Zacchaeus gets up and says, today, and I don't know all the details, but basically, I'm going to pay back four times everything I've taken as a tax collector. I'm going to start doing things in the right way. This immense transformation in his life, and as far as I can see, there was not one word told him or said to him about you need to change your life. All Jesus says, I'm going to come to your house and eat lunch. It's amazing what can happen over a good bowl of hummus. I'm just going to love you. And I think the other one, and I've used this before, we have the woman that's caught in adultery. And at the end of all this, all the accusers flee, and he said, woman, where's your accusers? And they said, there's no one here. He said, I don't accuse you either. Then he does say, go and sin no more, which, as I've said in the past, I feel that's more like, you know, maybe you should relook at your lifestyle. Maybe you should rethink that, because it's not working out too good for you. You see how that's not coming from a tree of knowledge of good and evil? That's the tree of love, of tree of life. I would challenge you today, if you're looking at your life and you're feeling ashamed, maybe you need to think, am I looking at myself from the wrong tree? Because God's not ashamed of you at all. At all. Any at all. None. God loves you like you are, whether you change or not. He didn't care. He's taking care of sin. He didn't care. I love you like you are. So if you're feeling shame in your life, or if you feel the need to tell somebody else to change their life, then you're from the wrong tree. You need to start taking from the tree of life. And it's a long road to get there, I can tell you. We're all learning that. So I'm going to stop. I want to hear what your thoughts and comments are on this. Please let us know. I'll be quiet.
You know the bracelets with the gospel on it? There's like red, yellow. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And you can use them to share the gospel. It's like old
okay.
School.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This one stands for, and you know, like the black one is on there that stands for sin. And it's such a like, have you heard of Christian Youth in Action? Child Evangelism Fellowship, CEF? Okay. So I grew up in all of that kind of stuff. And so sin was such a critical part of the story. Sharing with the person the problem so they could be aware that there was a need for the solution. And so where does that fit in? Where does that... I'm not saying that I want it to take center stage, but how do I balance both of those? I'm not the decider anyways. I guess that's where it fits in. I don't know, just... I'm thinking about my own life. Ugh. Like the idea that, like, God loves me, period. There's no but or and or... But then, sin was such a ginormous deal that it had to be taken care of with an eternal's death. So it is a big deal, but it has been... How does all of that...
Well, I'll tell you my thoughts, but I'm hoping that others will chime in on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you brought up a good point. I mean, personally, this is me speaking.
Right.
I think we have given way too much weight to sin.
Yeah.
God took care of it. He's not concerned about it. So I don't think that's on his mind when he approaches people, because he's taken care of it. Mm-hmm. Now, secondly, does that mean we continue doing those type of things?
Right, go and sin no more.
No, I'm not even saying that. What I'm saying is, I believe, and I have seen in my life, if we embrace the love of God, the fact that He loves us, just like Zacchaeus, all of a sudden we change. Because we're so inspired by His love. Not that God's saying you need to change this or that. It's an organic thing. In the same way that when I married her, my life changed completely because of my love for her. And even today, there are things that I do, I simply do, because she likes it. She wants it. And now I want it too. Her desires have become mine.
I got you. So the focus shifts.
Because of that.
Yeah.
So I think, and I'll let you jump in here in a minute, Scott. I'm pointing to you. I think we... got off track on the message of the good news and started, because it's easier to manipulate somebody with guilt than it is to teach them about God's love.
Yes.
And so that's why I think the good news went to your sin needs to be taken care of. That's where your problem, rather than God loves you.
Yeah.
I want to introduce you to the creator of all things. We've lost that.
Yeah,
so I think
absolutely.
That's where we need to move back to that. So I'm going to shut up and let somebody else jump in.
Yeah.
Whoever, whether it's you or not, Scott.
One way that's helped me think about that is to understand that evil, or if you want to say sin or whatever, is not in and of itself a thing. It is the absence of good. And just like darkness is not a thing, it is the absence of light. And so we only know what darkness is because we know light, and we only are aware of what evil is because we know good. And as we get closer to the light of Jesus, then we become aware of the things in our life that fall short of
good.
The good.
Yeah.
And we want to reorient ourselves to the good. Sometimes
so it's not getting rid of the bad, it's embracing the good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's not that it's a thing in and of itself, it is the absence of something. It's the absence of good.
So I'm sorry. I wanna add two thoughts with that. One of the things that Thomas Merton said is that you've got the light that I was talking about of God. And it's everywhere. But then Jesus becomes that focus, just like a magnifying glass becomes the focus of light and causes a flame that destroys the grudge and the crime and the undergrowth and whatever that's dead. In that same way, when we embrace Christ and God's love, all of a sudden that focus of God's light is in our lives, and it begins to burn through everything within us that's not pleasing to Him and us. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, I want to speak with one voice, mm-hmm. you and I together, united. That's where we're going.
So I would follow up with that thought. Just the reality is the light of God is within every human being. Not a human being that doesn't have the light of God within them, which means God's in them, the God of love you're talking about. He's trying to, I mean, he keeps being rejected. So that's where the sacrifice of Jesus is something God's been sacrificing to love us as long as there's been creatures. So I think all of us have a sense of I'm not completely who I want to be. I know the things in my life that I know things that are not quite right. And I think that's God saying, I want to love you, and I want you to become everything that I have in mind for you. So that's where the life comes in. The problem I see it is when I look at you and say, this is what's wrong with you. And so then you're back to that judgment. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. I'm going to tell you what your sin is, as if I didn't have any sin. So you're back to, you're trying to get a splinter out of my eye, and there's a log. Do you not, how do you see around that log? So that when the salvation, the rescue turns into condemnation and judgment, who wants that? And then that gets wrapped up with it, and then I guess that's who God is. No, that is not who God is.
We have a couple online comments. Sylvia says, Jesus took care of the sin. He forgave it. He forgives and forgets. It's so hard for us to believe that we are worthy of unconditional love.
Yeah.
Yes. That's right, Sylvia.
And then Kathy Whitson, interesting to me that Adam and Eve were probably eating of the tree of life, but still sinned when tempted, just like us.
Exactly. That's good.
Which leads me to the beginning of what I said is, I think the whole creation story is a revelation of the humanity of man, or the of human beings, how they are actually complicated.
I think that, you know, I see what you're doing here with the tree of good and life, good and evil, and the tree of life. And I think that we have to look at it that way to understand it. In practicality, in the walking of it out, I'm really trying to get the words right here. I don't think it's as cut and dry as we try to see it, because when I have a relationship with somebody, if I have a relationship with Mama, for example, and I see, you know, I love her, and I'm not going around looking, you better stop that, you better, but if there's something that she's doing that I see is really not to her best advantage, then because of relationship, I can say, you know, you might want to think about doing this a little differently. Or something. If it doesn't really matter what it is, but it's not like, nope, I can't say that because that's the knowledge of good and evil. But it's because of love that I see something that's kind of hindering her, holding her back, or hurting her. Then if I've built relationship with her, if I love her, there's that relationship of love, then I think it would be dumb not to say something. You know?
I think you've hit, said it several times using the word love. And we are encouraged in parts of the New Testament, if you see your brother having trouble, go help him.
Yeah.
But I think what you did in the context of what you said is very similar to the context of Jesus with the woman in adultery. He showed his love. He showed that his comment at the end was not from judgment or condemnation. It was, yeah, you know, you want to probably change your lifestyle. it was motivated by love, which is where yours, as you said several times, came from. It's out of love. We love, so we want to, you know, if I see you're going off a cliff, I'm going to try to keep you from going there, because I love you.
So I would like just to tweak it a little bit, because it's really, it's because of the time that we live in. We can say that kind of stuff out of love, but it's not being received out of love.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't been enough.
Relationship,
yeah.
You're saying there hasn't been enough relationship? Is that why?
I mean, being in the relationship, winning the right to be heard, all of that. But then if I start pointing out, I see this might not be best for you. I think people have to come to that, their own decision. So I have a friend that's really good at this, and he really, really rubs shoulders like Jesus did with the tax collectors and sinners. So he'll find out, tell me about you. And they'll tell him obvious things that are wrong. And he'll say, after building a relationship, so how's that working out for you? Some people say, well, it's fine. He backs off. Stays in a relationship. He knows it's not working so well, but he's come to believe, if I just tell him, it's not going to make any difference. It's those that say, how's that working for you? It's not really working out so well. Well, let's get together and talk some more. And I think that in the generation we live in, I think that kind of conversation, going that kind of way, is a much better way.
I think part of being able to understand that is, before you say anything, what's your expectation?
Yeah.
If your expectation is it's going to change them, then maybe your motive's not really out of love.
Ooh.
Right. That's really good.
Ooh.
I would also add...
you should say that to people online in case they didn't hear it.
Did people online hear that?
I think so.
Okay.
I would add to that. I would add to that that when we have these conversations, are we open enough to say, hey, I might be wrong. So I'm going to tell you what I think. I might be wrong. And they might teach me. I mean, if our conversation is always, even though we don't approach it as the I know what you need to do in your life, even in the from a motivation of love, it can still come across that way if we're not willing to say, I may be wrong.
Yeah.
Because I think we all find that when we get into these type of conversations, we have to be open to the idea that our understanding of what might be best is very much influenced by our background, our beliefs, our values, and where we come from. And they may not be right or correct or what this person needs. This gets hard. We just need to take these little tweaks into consideration.
I'm taking a digital marketing thing right now because switching out from teaching. And I just learned about the marketing funnel. And it starts with awareness, and then goes down to consideration, and then finally decision. And an awareness is not awareness of the brand, but it's awareness that I have that there's something wrong and I can't put my finger on it. But awareness is the whole exploration of what is it that's wrong. And that sounds exactly like what we're talking about, that nothing else happens if there isn't even a felt awareness.
So could we go back? Let's go to the culture that we live in right now. And one of my griefs is that the church in general is trying to say, we don't like the way people are living. And so we need to change the laws. And I'm thinking, time out. I think that's been tried. And I don't think that works. The whole New Testament is not about passing laws so people are punished if they violate our moral ethics. It's not to say that my moral ethic isn't right, but forcing people to live according to my ethic as one following Jesus, and they're not, is that does not work. And again, it just, it so undoes the gospel of Jesus. It undoes the New Testament. And people are feeling really righteous, which I would attach, self-righteous. They become religious know-it-alls, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. So that spirit has again, if you look at reactionary spirit is, we've got to go back to what it was. It's so much better back there. And you can plug that into politics, people are saying that. In the church, people are saying that. And Jesus is saying, we've already been back there. We're going this way. I mean, we may not like the fact that Jesus was progressive, but Jesus was progressive. He was always looking to the forward. Now, that's not a political statement. That's a philosophy of life. We're moving into the new kingdom. We're not going to go back to the old. The old system didn't work. There's a new system. And so, somehow as a community, we have to encourage each other to hold tightly to the new. If we don't, we're going to get sucked back into the old.
And that's the danger. He's absolutely right with that. Because it's so easy to get sucked back into the old, because it's an easier way than loving people.
Gotta say one other thing, there's also a pressure. There are more people wanting to go back to the old than people that want to move forward. And so you're going to feel like, man, who am I?
Yep.
And so, again, as a community, just consider yourself part of a community of weirdos.
You know, it's funny. Yeah, I think, Jenna, I'm right there with you. I think our generation, grew up, and those of us that kind of grew up in the church, it's really hard to flip the switch. And my brother came over the other night while Courtney was out of town, and we were talking about kind of our different journeys, and I felt like that. We were talking exactly about what we're talking about right now, about, you know, why I love it here, and just the difference in what I was steeped in as younger, and like just the revelation of understanding of some of this other stuff. And yeah, he's just not there yet, but I felt like that. I mean, it was very much, he called me a hippie by the time. I was talking so much about love and peace and everything. Yeah, well, of course, my wife is my wife. But also, I don't think anyone could argue that I personify the hippie.
Well, from my perspective, I've never thought of that view as
right. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
But I will now.
You're the new hippie.
Called this show that I watched that was kind of about the Jesus movement and the hippies and all of that and like, you know, the way people used to wear a suit and tie and dress in heels and hose and all of that to go to church and then these hippies, they looked down on them because they had, you know, tattoos, piercing, well, these days, tattoos, piercing, long hair, whatever, spiky hair, whatever it is, whatever the year is, you know. But, and then that was why those kind of people turned away from organized religion, because they were not welcome. Mm-hmm. And then that old hippie Jesus movement or whatever kind of did help change some of that to where people were accepted for who they are instead of like what they look like on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And love, you know, that was what they were seeking with drugs and all of that, was to feel that love that they were missing from God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's a lot easier to tell somebody to change than it is to love them.
Yeah.
And I think that's the message for me is the harder path is the path Jesus took.
Mm-hmm.
The one of, I'm going to love you no matter what, and I'm going to not let our relationship break because of something you're doing. This is the way.
I love it.
Anything else?
Kathy has another comment. It says, it's something I love about this community, that you allow each other to share without, after the message, without needing to think we are right or wrong, and give an open environment.
Thank you, Kathy. That encourages me a lot. I think this is one of the greatest things we have about our churches. We just all sit and, you know, everyone I think that comes up here to talk, and I'll tell you, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. God is leading us together. God is leading us together. I mean, you know, yeah, I'm going to share with you what I'm hearing. So let's talk about it. That's where we need to be, because we are moving together. Kathy, we wish you were here moving with us. But we're glad you're there moving with us. Anything else? Did you? Yeah, Scott has some of those.
Thank you so much.